fitting tribute to a man that left us way too soon.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, greetings from the road. I'm the one that's on the road for the North American Wrestling Connection. It's sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman, reporting from NAWC Mobile Force. I'm on my way to La Crosse, Wisconsin. The rest of you guys, I know, are sitting in the studio, and I made sure that the janitor had opened the place up for y'all. So let me introduce who I asked to bring in tonight. We'll start all the way on the West Coast, Ethan Muslin.
You sure we
got everything cleaned up here? I'm seeing quite a bit of cans.
It's been a rough week. Let's see. We've got our other old school person here, Brian Henniger. At least I thought he was here. Brian, are you still with us?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. We're just looking over this weird manifesto that's been lying around by Jim Williams that says, "Why Pinkie Pie Makes Me Sad." I think the janitor needs to do a little bit more sprucing up, but that's just me.
It'll get worked on this weekend.
It's been a busy week.
It has. And then our fourth for the week, fourth.
I couldn't think of a more fitting final entry on Twitter than that of the man that we paid tribute to at the start of this program.
What did he say?
Somebody had asked him if he preferred The Undertaker or Kane, and he said something along the lines of, "Both, of course."
Well, as reported on an emergency broadcast that got thrown together on, I believe, Tuesday, William Moody, better known to the world as either Percy Pringle III or Paul Bearer, had passed on. He was 58 years old. Every tribute from mentions on TNA and ROH to statements on Twitter, statements on Facebook, everything that has come through Brian has been very, very positive. Nobody has a bad word to say to Mr. Bearer.
That, yeah, it has. And the thing about Percy and or Paul, whatever name you chose to call him by, everyone who worked with him said he was one of the nicest people that you'd ever want to meet in the business. He was so knowledgeable and so respectful and just had all these great stories. And, you know, it's just a shocker. I mean, it's just sad. It's just very, very sad.
Now, we found out posthumously, or at least I didn't know right off, that before he passed, Ethan, he'd actually canceled a bunch of dates. He just wasn't feeling well.
Yeah, he does. When he was out here, he was doing the local Championship Wrestling from Hollywood promotion, and which actually gets a little bit of a TV coverage here. And yeah, no matter how you slice it, he was good. He was good as Paul Bearer, as Percy Pringle, whoever you remember him for. He was good on it. He was good as a manager, good in commentary. Just a couple weeks ago, we were watching an episode of Championship Wrestling and noting some of the commentary that he was making, and it was hilarious.
And fourth, I wonder if you had the opportunity. WWE actually did manage to put a package together, which I expect to see on next Monday's Raw, since the news did not break until after the SmackDown tapings had ended. This beautiful, beautiful tribute to the man.
I will say my two favorite parts were Dolph Ziggler doing the impression of "Oh yes" in that spectral voice that only Paul could do, and these footage of one of the more well-known charges of Paul Bearer, The Undertaker, saying "rest in peace," almost as saying goodbye.
And said without a hint of irony. It was something that, you know, it's a fitting tribute. It sucks that he wasn't going to be able to see Taker perform at WrestleMania this year, especially since it had been up in the air all this time, Ethan, that Willie or Wally?
Yeah, it had been up in the air. We had talked about this previously on previous episodes, whether or not The Undertaker would even be good to go. The fact that it came about literally a day after The Undertaker's return just made it all the more sad.
Now, I'm gonna give their WWE social media credit, and I've gotta tell this person who's kinda silly. Early Monday evening I was donating blood, or at least attempting to. Look a bruise on my arm. Anyway, I'm getting ready to leave, and I get a text from the WWE line. Normally, it's breaking news, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. All it said was, I have risen. Fourth, I'm not supposed to be a fan when it comes to stuff like this, but I got chills.
Indeed. I didn't get that message, but I saw other people did. And I thought to myself, if it is anyone other than Taker, it would be a major letdown.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say the word flat out, but go ahead.
Getting back to Bearer for a second, we know that his poor health turned out was he had a blood clot, some breathing problems. I'd also speculate that there might have been some gastric complications because he's had bypass surgery in the last 4 or 5 years, and the passing of his wife certainly did not help. The man didn't die of a broken heart, but Brian, that's just more fuel to the fire.
It is. On a personal note, that kind of happened with my mom. After my dad passed away from a massive stroke in 2008, she went on that bad spiral, and 3 years later she was gone. So it doesn't contribute directly, but it does send you down that path.
So, let's see. With Bearer gone, it's kind of short notice, but fourth, should they try to put Bearer in the Hall of Fame this year, or is it too late? Should they just hold off till next year?
I feel like it would probably be too late, if only because I started thinking about it in early 2006 with Eddie's induction, that it would just feel too much like the only reason he's going in is because he died and not because of what he put into the business for years. So I want them to hold off until, maybe next year.
Brian, same question.
I think that's a lot more fair, and also he got his start as a manager as Percy Pringle in Texas. He also did a lot of work in Mid-South, and one of their territories was Louisiana. So that would, I think, make a lot more sense.
Ethan, what do you think?
I gotta agree. If it can't be this year, the class is already locked in as far as I'm concerned. Do it next year. Put it in his home territory. It'll fit. It works.
Now, Brian, you're the one who mentioned that Bearer got his start as Percy Pringle down in Texas. But he was, granted, he wasn't Taker's first manager, but he was definitely a very pivotal voice, pun fully intended.
Oh, absolutely. If I'm not mistaken, I think his first manager was Theodore R. Long when he was part of the Powers of Pain. The Twin Towers, I should say. But I think that The Undertaker wouldn't have gotten near as over as he did had Paul Bearer not been there from the beginning, because he was the perfect counterpart. You said something during the emergency broadcast that meant a lot to me. He was a licensed mortician. In fact, I think he had his degree in mortuary sciences.
He does, yeah.
And like you said, he used every stereotype we have about Undertakers to his benefit. And I don't think anybody would have been a better talker for The Undertaker than him.
And so, and that's why it works so well. Bearer is an excellent talker. You know, I'm not knocking Undertaker's promo ability, although I could make another joke about the fact that he couldn't remember the date of WrestleMania a couple of years ago. But Bearer's presence, using all the stereotypes of what a mortician and Undertaker is, on top of his zealotry, just be, I don't know, you know, part, I'm sorry, Brian, but the best description is a priest of Satan.
No, I mean, that's essentially what it was. He essentially became a scion of evil, basically.
Which was later explored in the ridiculous comic that was released, I believe, in 1999.
And also that book, Journey into Darkness, which gave me one of my favorite lines. Apparently, Percy was given an advanced copy of the book to read. He said he opened the book, and on the very first page was the name Katie Vick. And he said, from that moment, I could read another word.
So, to that, and, you know, Bearer's lucky that he wasn't even around WWE when all that blew up. Though, I put my booking hat on, I remember this, I put my booking hat on and figured that I could get Kane off the hook for this alleged murder by saying that somehow Bearer was involved and they threw him in jail, so Kane, you know, and Kane would get off on by reason of insanity. I never had the opportunity to work with Bearer. However, I did exchange tweets with him a year or so ago when we were talking about Cornette. And Cornette is much like John Madden in the fact that you would probably have to sedate him to put him on a plane.
And also, here's something else you probably don't know about Madden and Cornette have in common. This little trivia. You know how Jim Cornette cusses like a sailor on shore leave?
Yeah.
So does John Madden, apparently. The guy cusses like nobody's business. Trip Hawkins took a train ride with him to discuss the first ever Madden NFL game. He said, what amazes me, and the thing with Jim Cornette, is how he can turn it off. He said, that man cusses like, I said, I've heard some cussing in my life. I never heard no one cuss like John Madden.
And I, God, I would love to, I'd love to hear the outtakes.
Sorry to get a sidetrack there, folks. It's just
no. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Now here's where we're going to start sliding up and down a very slippery slope. As announced on Old School Raw, well, not necessarily announced, but with Undertaker's return, obviously somebody was needed to oppose him, and through Vicky Guerrero's edict, she had a staged a fatal four-way for the main event that CM Punk won. Now, since words have not been formally exchanged between the two, and I'm going to start with you, Ethan, does Punk use Paul Bearer's death for heat?
Ooh, I don't know. I can see where they could do that, because I think he kind of used that Lawler's heart attack a little bit to draw a little heat on him for that. I don't know if Taker would give the okay for that, though. I seriously don't know.
fourth same question.
I don't think I would even try it, because it would probably just backfire in the worst way. That I don't know if fans could ever completely forgive WWE or Punk for really going through with that statement.
Brian, like, what do you think? I'm sorry for that. I didn't realize you keep going.
I was going to say, if he does, I don't even know if he could be a face for a long, long, long time.
Brian, your thoughts?
You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. One of the unwritten rules of wrestling is that personal issues draw money. But the thing is, you have to get the okay from the other person in order to say it. As long as they say, yeah, you know, take no prisoners, that in my mind that makes it okay because they're saying it's all right. But I don't think he would even go that far. I mean, look, we all know that CM Punk at times can be an arrogant bastard. We've known that. That's what makes him so entertaining at times. But we also know that he can be very respectful. And I think you can still get heat and make this a great angle and not have to bring up that particular card. And I don't think he's going to do that.
I get this image in my head of Punk actually approaching Undertaker backstage before the show and actually inquiring. But we already know the answer to that.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Fists will be taped and they won't be Punk's.
Now, if Triple H were involved, he'd say something else, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he, Mickey?
He might have something to say.
I admit it! I'm an asshole!
That would be after he had said it without permission, though.
And then I want video of the fight that breaks out afterwards.
Because if I'm not mistaken, one of Undertaker's favorite sports outside of wrestling is boxing. And he is actually has some pretty good boxing chops. He'd probably knock out a couple of teeth.
Yeah, it'd be kind of a fun fight personally. But now I mentioned on the emergency broadcast, I told my pallbearer story, where I got to see him shortly after Taker's Return of the Dead Man, after WrestleMania 20, where they did a thing off camera, where JBL had been pitching a fit over something that Eddie Guerrero had done, and Undertaker comes out instead of Eddie, who has left the building because he knew better. Undertaker and Bearer come to the ring, and JBL kind of backpedals, tries to reason with Undertaker first.
And that's never a good idea.
Well, he gets his finger because he turns to Paul Bearer, and JBL says, Mr. Bearer, will you please tell the Undertaker that I don't have a beef with him? And Bearer just turns to the crowd. And the crowd starts cheering. Looks to the other side of the crowd. We just get louder. JBL gets all flustered and grabs the microphone again. He says, stop cheering for me, God, get my ass! And Undertaker proceeded to do so.
And to use one of my favorite euphemisms, there was some quality pain.
I wish it was on camera because it was hilarious. It was beautiful. And I like JBL. One last one around the table. Ethan, give us a memory of Paul Bearer, something that sticks in your head.
Well, just referring to what we were talking about when we were watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, the commentary that that he made as Kirstie, I can't remember the name of the star who he was referring to, but I think it was an overweight gentleman, and he, I don't know if it was just his infliction or what, but the way he did this commentary just sounded hilarious when he was referring to the star as, he eats one too many hot dogs. He just says too many hot dogs. And we heard this and we just all busted out laughing.
Oh my goodness. Fourth, you got one?
To me, it's kind of a toss-up between just the bizarre facial expressions he would make as Paul Bearer, like how sometimes his mouth would be scrunched all the way to one side, and then his eyes would almost look like they were the complete other side of his face. And one of my favorite moments was when he was coming down first at SummerSlam 94, and then they led the coffin out, and the big urn of the light.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
There you go. Brian?
One I shared in the emergency broadcast when Smoky Mountain Wrestling did the Super Bowl of Wrestling event, and The Undertaker was going to be a part of it. Ironically, he wrestled a character named Unabomb, who was played by the guy who is currently Kane, Glenn Jacobs. So you got to see Undertaker versus Kane years before it actually happened. But when Cornette tried to start a fight with Bearer, and Bearer ripped his shirt off, and ripped his jacket off, and started going after Cornette. And he totally broke character. I'm like, yeah, get him, Paul, get him. But you know, just the fact that you know there has never been a manager like Paul Bearer or the Paul Bearer gimmick. And there are a lot of guys in the business now who could do a lot to learn from him, and he was one of the best. And when they made him Jack, they broke the mold.
They did, and at least he left us a touch of wisdom on both sides of the guardrail. And I quote, "Independent wrestling is the grassroots of our industry. When the roots die, so does the tree."
Amen.
Well said.
So, rest in peace, Mr. Bearer. Say hi to your wife for us. Heavy stuff. Let's go ahead and take a look at the rest of what happened at Old School Raw, which I'll tell you what, they did everything right. Or at least that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I still think the one from 2010 was better.
Well, I give them that, they used the pseudo block logo, the W's without the F, obviously.
Yeah.
They dug up old school graphics. My TV geek was going off. The opening signature was even done old school. They had the sirens. They had the old set.
They had the old pyro.
Yeah.
They used the classic pyro. King was not wearing a T-shirt for once. Cole was stuck in the mustard yellow Monday Night Football jacket.
And King was in his old garb, which was a nice touch.
I'm kind of happy he can still fit into it.
I'll bet you that they made him drop weight after the whole heart attack deal.
Oh, yeah.
And guardrails! Real guardrails!
Oh, yeah.
I also love the fact they even used the Attitude Era cutaway theme when they were showing backstage stuff.
Yes, I heard that, and I marked out for that. That was awesome.
So, everybody, whoever put all this together sat down and watched a bunch of stuff from the first or second year of Raw and said, we got to do that. It sounds like a first-gen EA sports commercial. Give me that. Maybe not that, but definitely that and that. They didn't beat us over the head too much with the older stars. And despite what I heard originally, they actually kept the storylines moving.
Which in a WrestleMania month, you kind of have to do that. You can't just all of a sudden throw on the brakes for Legends Night.
Well, it's just the early news I had heard was that they were actually just going to step aside and celebrate old school. But they went ahead.
Which would have been nice too. But the fact that they kept the storylines moving was a nice little extra bonus to that.
And by the way, can I just say, I love Justin Roberts in that powder blue tuxedo he was wearing.
Oh, yeah. My God. How much?
I was expecting one of those old school MSG mics to come down the way Fink had them in the early 80s.
Well, now, you know what? They would probably do that if they ever decided to do old school and MSG. Which, if they did, holy crap, that thing would be sold out in minutes.
And let me just say this, and I don't mean to jump on over it, people, but I had been saying to my friends for years, just for one night, because, see, I'm a fan of what they like to call on TV Tropes retro, with an E-A-U-X at the end. Like, doing something modern, but in an old-school style that's like a throwback. I would have loved for years to see wrestling try just for one night, like a turn back the clock night.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something really cool. I mean, like you said, the period detail was just so extraordinary. But as I said that night, it wouldn't have felt like a real old school Raw if we didn't see promos for Duckman or Silk Stalkings or Tuesday Night Fights or Tech War or heck, even the eight, and to say nothing of USA Cartoon Express. That was awesome back in the day.
Okay, now you're speaking my language.
In a kind of related story, I went to a convention a few years ago. They had one of the stars of Silk Stockings. I don't know if they would have done custom autographs, but I wish I could have gotten them to put, like, stay tuned after Raw.
But, show all episode of La Femme Nikita.
But yeah, I mean, all that was missing was stuff like, you know, the Ico Pro sign wasn't out there. And I would have just liked to see one backstage just for a laugh. But they brought out a lot of the usual suspects when they do an old school night, and they actually applied, what was it, Duggan, Slaughter,
and
Dusty Rhodes,
that's a dream,
to help weed the people for why does he still have a match at Mania? Can somebody refresh my memory?
You know what? When you got a good angle, you got a good angle. But I'm sure once it's done, he's out the door.
Yeah, I'm thinking Vince has invested too much in making us a take that to just turn back now.
And we're kind of getting into Inception levels of it when we went on SmackDown. Del Rio did a take that of the take that.
That was hilarious.
That was brilliant. And Jim, if you listen to this broadcast, tacos. Oh, no, that's for High Muck Amuck, actually. But sticking with Monday, they've added a few things to the card. They're teasing a few more things for the card. Ryback and Mark Henry are going to get into a turf war.
I've heard of Cupcake Wars, but this is ridiculous.
Now, there we go. Ryback versus Mark Henry in a buffet match.
There'd be no food left in the MetLife Center.
No, there would be no food left in the greater New York metropolitan area.
And do you really want do you really want our friend Jason to go hungry? I mean, seriously.
No, actually, the only reason I would do it is just to see poor Big Show blubbering in the corner. So, what else got set up? When they forwarded Del Rio's Swagger, Triple H came out, and I could hear the number threes cut his 20-minute promo. Did not mention that he was his fans the week before.
Yeah, but they still have to start setting up the card now, so they had to do it.
Well, yeah, and they, you know, there's a few other things that we're looking at, potentially Sheamus, Orton, and the Big Show versus Shield.
That'd be kind of cool.
Which I'm okay with. Then again, you know,
the only problem I would have with that is that you're turning Big Show again. It's like he's flipping a lot, and he's got to stick with one thing.
No, I mean, just the fact the man can get stuck in the heel face revolving door, you know, and yeah, he's only been heel for, what, 6-7 months?
Yeah, about that. I think it was a little before he won the world title, I think.
Yeah, because the ironclad contract thing, so sometime early last summer. give me a second here. So, Hunter calls Lesnar out, and my Uncle Paul is speaking with Lesnar about this. It, you know, it's pretty much set in stone that these two are going to face each other again. Which is fine. I'm, you know, I'll take it. I realize it's a rerun, but I'm okay with this. Rock and Cena, Rock Cena 2, here we go again.
Twice in a lifetime.
But you got to give them props for their promo. The point-counterpoint thing, although I think Cena was kind of leaning on the drama button.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, right. Someone wrote on the fan boards, why didn't we get this promo last year?
Because Brock was this, shooting movies.
And again, why, well, I'm sorry, you know what, I'm not even going to make the point anymore. I understand he's a draw. I totally get it now. But say what you want to about John Cena. He does a lot of house show tours.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot to promote that company. I have no problem with them promoting the heck out of John Cena, because John Cena, A, can work, and B, works very, very hard, does a lot of stuff outside of the ring as well, and still makes his house show dates. But
yeah.
I'm sorry, again, not going to say a word.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, after Cena's epic match the week before, I mean, he's self-aware of the whole moves thing, because he's made the snide remark, you know, somehow I'm going to have to learn more than four moves unless you guys count tackle.
And I'm going to say this. I didn't know that he knew how to do a hurricanrana. It's a messy hurricanrana, but it was a great one nonetheless.
Well, the fact that it came from him is what made it great.
Yeah. It's like watching Scott Steiner do the Frankensteiner nowadays. It's just something where you're like, what in the heck was that?
Just, whoa. And so the man knows what he's doing. But like I said, the only thing I take back from it is I just thought Cena was being a little too dramatic. But that might just be my bias talking. What else did we have in there? Oh, well, we got our Mean Gene Okerlund fix, and
yep.
They were trying to celebrate Mae Young's 90th birthday.
And it looked like she couldn't give two shits about what was going on around her.
I don't think she really understands what's going on around her.
Probably not.
Unfortunately, CM Punk was not impressed.
And he just kept right on walking.
I love how he yelled out, "So what are you going to do about it, woman?"
That was beautiful. And if Mae registered that in her mind, I think she was perfectly fine with it because she knew that would get heat. Now, speaking of heat, this is something that that workers will appreciate. Fandango has generated more heat by not wrestling than some of what Ziggler's been doing in the last month and a half.
It's gotten old already, though.
Granted, but he's only done it a couple of times, and he's done it three times. And it's frustrating. He's pissing you off.
It's not really pissing me off. It's just I'm sighing over the fact that we've seen this movie before. We saw this earlier with Damian Sandow. I mean, the dust, there's not even enough dust on this gimmick to brush it off.
I'm just enjoying the fact that the crowd hates him already, and he hasn't even stepped in the ring. And then you're going to see how bad he really does dance. But remember, him derating Justin Roberts allowed us to get a good look at that ruffly tux he was wearing. And Jason is thanking the gods above that he got mad at Lillian Garcia so she could actually get some screen time.
Although I'm going to say this, and I got to watch one of those promos he did.
Mm-hmm.
Fandango, love you, man. You need to see a dentist. And this is just me talking, but I don't know, either their makeup department was brilliant, but one of his incisors had this little black spot on it, and you could see it. It's even worse in high definition.
I don't pay attention to that. I'm too busy walking stairs with the man. But
you're absolutely right, Nikki. They have found the perfect way to get Johnny Curtis over by not even having him step in the ring. And he is doing very good at it, too.
Makes you wonder.
So, kudos to him. I'll probably get to see him tomorrow. Hopefully I'll get a moment to shake his hand. Either that or he's going to walk past everybody because he's going to be, you guys don't know how to say my name, so.
Give me good, Finn Danger.
No, if anything, I would yell at him, I'd ask him for movie tickets.
Okay, game show nerd moment, and I'd ask him, where's Bill Anderson and Edgar the Talking Jukebox?
So, same idea. What other nonsense? Oh. Is Zack Ryder desperate, or is it just me?
He's desperate, based on his height.
I was thinking he just wants to, almost like a sitcom, not just get canned, but become legendary in getting canned. I think he just wants to see what he can do, what he can get away with before Vince just says those two words.
I was just amused. Push me on the back of your trunks is just inviting disaster. That's like willingly wearing a kick me can on your shirt. What's the other thing? Oh. Team Hell No. They've slowed down the tease for the breakup. I wonder if they're going to stick together then.
Maybe they'll probably stage the breakup around at WrestleMania then.
Could be.
I hope not. because I had a lot of high hopes for WWE putting a lot more focus on the tag teams again.
And we, and the thing is, we've got, you know, they've got all these tag teams to play with, but none of them really, at this point, are really standing out outside of maybe the primetime players.
Possibly. So, yeah, because Primo and Epico's just got the job squad kicked out of them at old school.
And the Usos are brought out here and there, and the Hip Hop Hippos have only been together for about a month or so.
Yeah, but the rebranding has already begun.
But yes, call back to an old gimmick will save the Tensai gimmick. Thank you for at least snickering for it.
I know where it came from, so that's why I enjoyed it.
But all in all, it was a good show, and the old school concept seems to get a lot of casual eyes on the show. They broke 5 million. So people were paying attention.
Yeah.
Let's see how many of them stick around. That's the hard part. Anything else from that?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I please have your attention? May I have your attention, please? It appears we have just received a message from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my Sharp X1 Turbo Roman numeral 3.
His picture didn't exist.
Oh boy, here we go.
Well, here, I gotta pull over before I can pull this up. Give me a second.
Be careful.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at the most blood ugly black computer I've ever seen.
That doesn't even look real.
It looks like someone just put a television on top of a floppy drive.
I think that's more or less what it was.
That's pretty much what a lot of first-gen computers were. My TI-99/4A. I used my parents' 20-inch television as a monitor.
Heck, I broke a TV using one of those back years ago.
Let me see what I've got. Okay, my phone's slow, but here it is. Somebody finally told Vince McMahon that he would probably have to start playing on Twitter as well. At Vince McMahon, we dare you. If you are a regular reader of Twitter, you might want to go look for CM Punk and Colt Cabana riffing on Marine 3. God help us. But you'll have something even bigger to look at when you see that one woman might change the entire wrestling business. Ooh. Yeah, it's going to take me a minute to put that together, guys. Thankfully, where I pulled off, I'm going to go get me something to eat. The restroom should be unlocked. I can't guarantee anything. And the snack machine's plugged in, so if you guys want to grab something real quick, then we'll come back. We got to talk about this, because this is huge. So, take a couple of minutes. We'll be back. Run some commercials. Just play something!
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hello, this is the game showman, Joe Van Ginkle, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Joe Van Ginkle, get out of my f***ing head!
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Mickey Heyman working from Mobile Force. Ethan Muslin, fourth, and Brian Henniger are in the studio for me. Gentlemen, we have some huge, huge news that is coming out of all places, TNA.
What?
Something that will that could impact the entire wrestling industry, especially at the top.
I hope this doesn't involve the ACNH storyline.
No. This is what makes it even cooler. It's because of a female wrestler. We've reported on this show in the past about all the troubles that that Daffy has been having with TNA in getting her medical bills paid, and all the rigmarole that's going on with that. Well, Lee Burton, from a website called ringbellsonline.com, put together an update for us regarding this case, and I'll try to, I'm hoping my signal will stay true while I read this to you. It has been around 9 months since we had heard any update on Daffy's workers' compensation claim against TNA. The Ringbells has secured some information on the situation, and it could potentially lead to one of the biggest shakeups in wrestling history. It could cause a ripple effect, not just through TNA, but all the way up to WWE. It was always telling that her workers' comp lawsuit, instead of a personal injury lawsuit, was filed, which could have been another avenue for her to be compensated for concussions that she suffered on TNA programming and effectively ended her in-ring career. The reason for that is because she wants to test the claim that wrestlers are, quote, independent contractors, which means that they are responsible for their own medical insurance and do not enjoy the same sort of protection and benefits that a regular employee would. Similar to the lawsuit that we've heard about that Raven, Mike Sanders, and Chris Canyon had filed back in 2008, but was dismissed partially because their claims had been were barred by the statute of limitation. TNA was to mediate with Daffy sometime Friday. If a settlement is not reached, the case will go to court, where it will then be up to a judge to see if wrestlers are under a contract, booked to appear at places at certain dates, be told to execute a planned outcome and not have the freedom to accept booking elsewhere are truly independent contractors, or if they should be classified as employees. Rather than just looking to satisfy her medical bills, which have left net that she's paid out of pocket, her case could create a legal judgment, which means all wrestlers in places like WWE and TNA could legally have to become staff. In other words, Vince's pocketbook is going to get shrunk even further because he is going to have to provide insurance, benefits, and actually treat his employees like employees. Were that to happen, both WWE and TNA would likely have to face tax bills as well as an increase in cost because of sorting out these benefits. On the flip side, the wrestlers on the roster would have their medical coverage, would actually have medical coverage for their injury. That would be more of an issue in TNA than WWE, considering wrestlers working for Vince are generally well taken care of. While there have been cases in TNA, such as with R-Truth, Conan, and Jesse Neal, where the medical bills were a cause of tension, and April Hunter pointed out that having to sign a medical waiver was a really big reason why she never signed with TNA in the first place. It's possible that TNA would not want a lot of its dirty laundry aired in public as part of a court case where there could be a chance that the judge could decide that wrestlers should be classified as employees. There may be a big settlement at the mediation stage with a confidentiality agreement signed which would ban Daphne from discussing the case any further. However, should that not happen and the mediation ends without a settlement, the issue will be taken to court for a hearing on the motion on the same day. Now, I do not have an update as we are recording on Friday. And it blows my mind what this could mean for the wrestling industry. Ryan, think about this. WWE employees would not only have full-blown insurance, but potentially retirement benefits.
Yeah, I mean, because the only problem I see here would be actually getting insurance, because historically, professional wrestling and wrestlers are the hardest people in the world to insure. I mean, because they work in a very high-risk profession. Mm-hmm. And so their premiums are through the roof. But, I mean, it would be great if wrestlers would be able to do stuff like this. The problem I see is the effect it could have on the independent circuit. Because this could effectively kill a lot of independents, because a lot of them are already paying insurance waivers just to get buildings. And, I mean, because, Nikki, you know this better than anybody. But, I mean, if this happens, this will open up a Pandora's box. I'm not sure the wrestling industry wants that to be opened.
I don't think the industry wants to, but at the independent level, the damage will not be horrendous, because at the independent level, the wrestlers truly are independent contractors. They are not formally employed by any specific promotion and are usually not barred from appearing in other promotions. Usually what happens with that is that if a wrestler is being told by by quote on championship wrestling that they're not allowed to go work for, Silver City Wrestling, they're going to say, what are you going to do to stop me? Well, we'll stop booking you. That's fine. Silver City will pay me. That's independent contractor. That's how an independent contractor works. But at the higher levels, the Ring of Honors, TNA, WWE, PGUSA, it's that layer at the very, very top where it's going to have a lot more meaning. Ethan, your thoughts on the matter?
It's definitely one of those things where if it goes through, you're talking about an absolute fundamental shift. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, weren't the contracts that we have now with the Feds and TNA, weren't those done in reaction to people jumping ship during the Monday Night Wars?
Mind you, I don't know if non-competes were a thing back then. So guys could, you could pull a Rick Rude.
Yeah.
And appear on both shows on the same night. Nowadays, these independent contractors with the WWE have to sign a 90-day no comp.
Yeah.
If
I remember right, that was to prevent, the immediate jump, like what Rick Rude did appearing on the same day.
Right.
Or Lex Luger.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the other one. Now, some of the moves during the Monday Night Wars were done, right when their contract, the non-comp wasn't a thing back then, so people would go just as their contracts expired. So, some people would ask for the release and maybe they'll get it. Sometimes they didn't, but still, the fact that Vince has all these people working for him that have to go through a department if they want to make an appearance anywhere else. They are not allowed to take their own bookings. They are required, they are recommended highly to remain in character in public. There's all these things that Vince wants them to do. It sounds like full-time employment to me.
It certainly does here, too.
Your thoughts?
Honestly, I definitely have to think Vince, probably not shaking in his shoes, but at least has a drop of sweat from his brow because of this. Because as alluded to, this will definitely change how he does business with people.
How this could turn out could just turn the whole industry on its ear. But again, I always see it really affecting things at the upper echelons where organizations want that exclusivity. Okay, you want me to be exclusive? Hire me. That's how it works in any business except wrestling. I wish I had an update on this. I really want to know if Rinville has any new information.
Now, it's my recollection that Lloyd's of London used to insure professional wrestlers, because they'll insure anybody. But they had to stop because a couple of wrestlers were making extensive claims and were getting millions of dollars from them, Kurt Hennig being the most notable among them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Lloyd's of London stuff? Well, it wasn't just Hennig. Foley was the other one. That they looked at him and said, "We're losing our shirt. So never mind."
So what worries me is, number one, will you find an insurance company willing to underwrite a professional wrestling organization?
Given the last 5 or 6 years, right now I'd have to say no. Because so many people, we've lost so many workers who were only in their 40s.
Yeah.
Or their early 50s. Right now, Sid Vicious is in a hospital. He's only 52. we lost two great workers, before, you know, at 40. And we've lost some younger than that. And it's this is one of those, this is just one of the biggest catch-22s. It's the insurance needs to be there to protect these guys. But the money that it's going to take is going to cost them. It's going to cost them people at that level of their jobs. Ethan, give me a scenario. Say Daffy wins.
If Daphne wins, people, they will have to have some sort of, they'll have to provide some sort of insurance, but again, the question remains, are companies even going to cover it? And this could realm into the federal level, too, because could Obamacare actually cover professional wrestling? Will they even consider it? Or will current wrestlers have already been given their pre-existing conditions and will just say no? It's like you're allowed to have coverage, but we're not going to give it to you. I see way too many questions opening up. There's too much of a can of worms that would be let loose if the judge gives the okay.
Because we don't know if she's ruled against, nothing's going to change. So
now, to play devil's advocate here, Vince McMahon does provide a form of health coverage to their wrestlers. So maybe it wouldn't just be insurance, which they're never going to find an insurance company willing to underwrite them.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the fact that it's understood that you will provide either at cost or lower cost health care to your workers. McMahon already does that.
Right. I mean, and he actually goes above and beyond what most other corporations would do. I mean, he's the only one. He's one of the very few companies that would bankroll rehab. Then again, that's just because it's such a unique example of the business. He pays for these, and he pays for the surgeries. He pays for pays for this kind of work out of his own, pretty much out of his own pocket. Where the questions are going to come in is, if he is required to provide insurance, how does this fall under Obamacare? And if it doesn't, and if Obama does not provide for them, I would love to see that fight in court. Where Vince is saying, okay, you want me to provide insurance, you have this government-mandated insurance that you won't give me. It's gonna get a lot worse before it gets better, especially if Daphne wins. And like I said, I wish I could tell you if I had more information. I mean, I'll look for another place. Actually, if somebody is in front of their computer, if you can hit your. You could hit our dear sponsors at WrestleChat and see what we've got.
It's just, this is a weird situation because what worries me is that this won't hurt the big boys. This won't hurt WWE. It may not even hurt TNA that much. What I worry about are the larger independents like Ring of Honor and CZW. because it'll effectively put them out of business.
Yeah, because they cannot afford to put together benefits packages because they're, you know, I know that they're making money, otherwise they wouldn't exist. Also, I think it will affect TNA a great deal because it seems that they've done all this shady crap with their other workers. You know, Daphne not being the only one as mentioned in the article. So there's a couple things that could come out of this. TNA could go ahead and pay her medical bills just to shut her up. We go to court and TNA crosses their fingers that, you know, the court rules in their favor. If Daphne is no longer under contract and she's effectively retired, Vince could buy her silence and force that word to speak.
I am just thinking that would probably be one of the weirdest things to have Vince do that. And it could likely happen.
So it's something that we need to watch very, very closely because this is gonna turn the whole industry upside down. And for better or for worse, this is one facet of the business that needed to be drug into the 21st century. We've got too many guys who are out there killing themselves both figuratively and literally, chasing the dream. And I've already seen too much of it with JC Daly, with Matt Riott, with brain damage. These guys never, you know, these guys didn't get much television time. But in the case of Bailey, I can say with confidence that he did a lot of that killing himself and didn't see a dime. His father came to one of the tribute shows I worked and said, "You boys shouldn't be working for free." For the tribute show, he understood because the money was going to be donated to a charity. But what a lot of guys do in the independents, at the lowest levels, you know, you are crossing your fingers when you walk into any locker room. There's going to be guys you know, but there's guys you don't know. You don't know how good they are, how long they've been working. They can tell you stuff, but you're not going to have to believe everything they say. Then you got to go check out the ring. You know, how old is the ring? Are the boards good? Are the mats good? Are the ropes good? After former ROH guy, Big Flap last year. Wrestled like Benoit. Davey Richards. That's what he knows. I watched Davey Richards almost fall out of a ring because the ropes weren't tight. I don't know what
exactly.
I don't. It's stuff like that. You know, I've had my knee banged up from falling off a ring that didn't have padding completely over the boards. I didn't get paid. So this is something that the industry needs this fix. Because Brian, you know, while it's going to put some people out of business, maybe it'll put some of the people that need to be put out of business.
That's true, but again, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, personally, I don't think TNA is not going to let this go to court. They're going to settle. The question is, how much is it going to cost them? I really believe that it is going to come into a settlement, because they can't afford to let this go to trial. But still, I mean, I don't exactly know what to say here, but it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy. Like I said, it is going to get, the case is going to get worse before, whatever happens, it's going to get worse before it gets better. The least I'm hoping for is that Daphne Unger gets the money that she needs to get these medical bills paid off. She should at least, I think she's doing a great thing for the business. I want to see it happen. I'm somebody who believes that, these guys work harder than most people do at a desk job. And they deserve a lot more than what they get.
And, Nikki, I'm right there with you. My only problem is, will this put a lot of these smaller independents out of business? That means there's less places for these guys to work. So you're going to have more of these little fly-by-nights open up, and then it'll still be unregulated.
That's a whole other kettle of fish, unfortunately.
And I know, Nikki, and look, I'm not trying to be contrary or anything. I'm just giving you, I'm just trying to give you my personal opinion.
I know where you're going with that, because, Bull Miller's outfit would go out of business because he wouldn't be able to pay any kind of insurance. We'd have, I think, this would be another nail in the coffin with, Ring of Honor spiraling down. I don't think Dragon Gate USA does any kind of exclusivity. Some states require, if you get a promoter's license, you get a promoter's thing drawn up for a show, you have to put down some money to cover X amount of dollars of liability. So, there's some stuff out there. In Kentucky, you're required to be licensed, and somebody from the state athletic commission will come to the show. I had to put my gear back in my car because I went to a show and I wasn't licensed, even though I was not going to be in the ring actually bumping. I still was required to be licensed.
But this is going to be a very interesting case. But like I said, and I'm going to say this one last time, there's no way TNA doesn't at least try to get a settlement out of this. There's no way.
All I ask, and I hope all Daphne asks, is that she gets all of her medical bills paid and maybe a little extra compensation for her, not to be mean, but pain and suffering. She deserves better. She's a great wrestler. I loved her in WCW. I got to meet her at a IWC show in Pennsylvania. She is that crazy. And I thought she deserved a lot better. And, if this shines a light on TNA's shoddy medical practices, at least it'll be the boot in the butt to get that part fixed. If it's not going to be industry-wide, can we at least just fix TNA?
And Nikki, not to change the subject, but there's another story you have here about another wrestler that's having some serious health problems, right?
Yes. I touched on it. Are you talking about Sid?
No, I'm talking about Rey Mysterio Jr.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you're right. Ray, as you notice, has not been on TV. Sin Cara's been around. If you have not seen, go look up Sin Cara Cesaro from this week's main event. Awesome, 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 awesome match. Period. Paragraph. Watch it twice. Mysterio has been off TV, not only for personal reasons, but apparently has a partially torn ACL. Likely something that he's re-torn, since I know, you know, the man's had a dozen surgeries on each knee. There's a couple whispers out there that people are urging him to retire so that his, you know, so that his legs just don't cave in underneath him and he ends up in a wheelchair. I'm also second emotion just because I don't want to see him busting people up with his knee braces again.
I second that emotion.
Yeah. As you said, I don't want to see him get hurt out there, and I don't want to see him put others in a position where they can get hurt. So,
I mean, he's had an amazing run, and the fact that, you know, he got away with a lot of stuff early in his career, the fact that he's been in major promotion rings since he was 15. Because I remember reading a story. I think it was in Rumble Road, where they told him where he would wrestle in bars, and the other workers would tell him just wear your mask at all times. Then they can't tell how old you are, and you'll be allowed to come in and wrestle. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't let you in the door. But if his knees are so screwed up that he's wearing, you know, those Austin-esque braces, I saw him bust up The Undertaker. I saw him bust up CM Punk. So I just don't want to see anybody else get hurt because he's so insistent on continuing. Just, you know, Ray, for your sake, mostly, you know, we would miss you, but you really do need to hang it up because I don't want to see you in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it seems to be a problem with both short and tall. Like, we both seem to have our share of knee problems.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I was just checking Twitter real quick. Vince McMahon, our good friend Zack Ryder just tweeted a picture to Vince McMahon.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
It's just a picture of his push-me trunk that says, "So, Vince, what do you think of my new gear?"
Given that Vince hasn't used his Twitter yet, I'm not sure he uses it at all, so I think it's going to fall on deaf ears.
I don't think Vince knows how to download pictures off of Twitter.
I don't even think he can use the internet.
Well, somehow they got him a Twitter account, so whoever's managing that, I hope they will at least print out the picture and show it to Vince just so he can understand. Although, if it were me bringing that picture to Vince, I probably would deliberately hand it to him upside down to see if he could figure it out. So, that was the other thing I needed to talk about real quick. WWE decided that they needed to put another pay-per-view on schedule, the June-July area is is one place where they seem to get their concept stuff out there, like capital punishment
and Money in the Bank.
But they've decided on trying to do a brand new pay-per-view that they should have just called Backlash. It's called they call it Payback. So to me, it just sounds like a bad Nicolas Cage action movie.
Well, tell me, Nicky. I mean, do you think I'm a bad actor? Or are you gonna be honest with me? Come on.
I'm probably one of three people who like the Ghost Rider movies. Only because I've never read the comic.
Makes me. I think the rock version of Ghost Rider is in the sky. That was pretty cool.
So that will be something we'll be looking out for this summer. I'd be curious to see what kind of logo they'll be with that. Let's go out on a nice high note.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, wrong.
Don't hurt yourself. You remember about a month or so back where there was a gentleman who had been shot in a robbery. He'd been shot in the eye. And he wasn't worried about his injury. He was still pissed that Punk had lost the belt, or had lost the WWE title to Brock. Punk decided to break the kayfabe and finally got to go visit the guy.
Oh, nice.
Because right after it happened, Punk called him. Probably because he wasn't in the neighborhood, but, you know, he was in the area, so he went and visited the guy. Because you need fans like that. You know, whether, you know, face or heel, you still need fans like that. You don't see too many people that are that passionate about wrestling.
Yeah, that's taking it serious, but, you know, good on Punk for doing that.
Yeah. And if he wanted to be mean to somebody, him and Colt got together, and it's my understanding, I haven't looked on Twitter, but they get their own riff tracks on Marine 3. which tells me that, you know, since Jericho's too busy with his game shows and his concerts, somebody else has to own Miz on Twitter.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that was mean. Oh, yeah. I think I've covered everything I want to cover. And I have got to find me a hotel and get some sleep. But before
and by the way, Nikki?
Yeah.
If you stop at any truck stops, be sure to pick me up some beef jerky, okay?
What flavor do you like? Pepper, teriyaki?
Teriyaki, if they have it, and if at all possible, a low sodium.
Low sodium beef jerky is an oxymoron, but I'll try.
Well, if you can't, then just some teriyaki be good.
There you go. But yeah, before I call it a night. Brian, do you have anything to promote besides beef jerky?
Yes, a lady we like to call Pixel Nation. We'll be taping another episode very, 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 very soon. Our weekly video game dose of excitement. Be sure to check it out. And that's pretty much it. Every other show we do here at the CLW83 Network, I'm sure others have other stuff to plug, but that's what I want to plug.
All right. Do you have anything to promote?
Well, just two things. First, Typhoon Show, as usual, Tuesday nights over at the other place.
He needs to come over here.
Yes. And I don't know that much about it, but I want to give a quick congratulations to Steve Corino, because I heard he got married today.
Awesome.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You got anything to promote?
The usual plug that we've got going on here. Red State Blue State coming up this weekend on CLW 83. Our planned topics for tonight, for the weekend, we will be talking about the Rand Paul filibuster. Hopefully I won't continue yammering for 12 hours on end. We'll probably be talking about the death of Hugo Chavez. Unemployment numbers are looking good. And North Korea wiggling its little dick.
Well, I do have I have something quick to promote. Actually, a couple things. First of all, if you are out about and you want to hear more of the North American Wrestling Connection or any of the other 83.com shows, get yourself the phone app Stitcher. You'll be able to find current episodes of the North American Wrestling Connection and many other CLW 83 programs. Help yourself. It's free. Stitcher's good for Android and for iPhones. Just dig around the App Store. You'll find them. It's Stitcher. Stitcher. For myself, real quick, as I said, I'm on the road. I'm going to be in La Crosse, Wisconsin, Saturday evening for a WWE SmackDown house show. This will probably broadcast after the show is over, but in case it goes before then, no pressure, muck and muck. Swing by, say hi, shake hands, take a picture. I know I'm going to have a good time, and I'll have a full report of the house show for next week's episode. So with that, for Brian Henniver, for Ethan Muslin, or fourth, my name is Nikki Heyman. I have found some place to light and get some sleep. So we'll see you next week, where we'll have more about wrestling. Good night.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.